what to do. I've got a black cloud hanging over my light. They told me to go talk to you. Oh, mister, Mr. Lucky Man, won't you deal me a better hand? I've got a black cloud hanging over my light, and I just don't know what to do. I'll take it with me wherever I go. Thanks for the goods, thanks for the show. I'll take it with me wherever I am, wherever I run, wherever I stand. Mister, Mr. Lucky Man, please deal me a better hand. I am got a black cloud hanging over my light, and I don't know what to do. No. No, Mr. Mr. Lucky Man, thank you for dealing me a better hand. But now I know what to do.
Live in our studio on Live and Local, those were Davina and the Vagabond. Davina Sowers, who's the vocalist and pianist of the band, Michael Carvalho is bassist, Alec Tackman on drums, Dan Eichmeyer on trumpet, and Ben Link on trombone. I said your name right, Dan, I hope.
Yeah, you got it.
There you go. Great. And they're with us on the show for the hour to fill our ears with some interesting stuff. As you just heard, they're actually going to be in Champaign for two gigs tonight and tomorrow night. They'll be playing at around 8 o'clock at Mike and Molly's each evening. There's an opening act at 7 or so each evening as well. We'll tell you about it a little bit later. But we're really delighted that they were able to come in and do the show for us live today. And I'd seen some videos and heard some recordings, and I thought this would be a lot of fun. And
yay.
I think you got an idea of that right away. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Kevin. We're really happy that you could have us in here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You know, I'm sure other people have focused on this as well, but I latched on to this bit from your bio that compares you specifically, Davina, to Etta James, Amy Winehouse, Janis Joplin, Billie Holiday, and Betty Boop, which is maybe my favorite bit of there. And of course, this being a radio show, people can hear but not see what you and the rest of the band look like. So did you write that, or did that come from somebody else?
That came from somebody else.
And what do you think about that combination? Does that sound about right?
I don't. I mean, I'm not sure how many cartoons of Betty Boop that this gentleman had seen, but she's pretty high up in the pitch range. And she sang, Betty Boop?
She does sing?
So maybe I should watch some cartoons, and then I can make a judgment on that. You know, I think what people see is they see like a presence of like a big presence of a woman. And so, you know, all of those women are strong women, strong presence, you know, and strong different voices, so to speak. I don't know what that means, but and I think, you know, it's really cool to be clumped in. My favorite is when someone compared me to like Tom Waits or Louis Armstrong personally. I kind of like that, because I'd like to break the bounds of you know, of being a female and being heard in different types of sexes, you know. So
well, Tom Waits was a reference that the sound of the band is sort of has some influence.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about the persona, because every one of those people, as you said, strong woman, and a real persona, a real character.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways. I mean, Betty Boop is actually a cartoon character, but you know, she's got the red lipstick. You got the red lipstick going on.
I do.
On. Yeah, and the black hair and all that. But where did you get the idea for the band? I mean, was this band your idea, or did it somehow just coalesce?
It just really it just kind of happened. I lived in Key West for a number of years, and I met Michael in Key West. I was a busking, and a street musician, and he was with a touring band. From Minnesota, that was kind of like the bee's knees in the 80s and 90s, and they still are going on. It's like 38 years they've been together. Their name's Lamont Cranston, and he toured with them for a number of years. And I met Michael. I was leaving a venue, and he was walking in, and then I met him about a half hour later. He walked past me when I was performing. I had a guitar. I played horrible guitar, but that's how I made my money in Key West.
Playing,
and so I met
playing
him
horrible guitar.
Playing horrible guitar. Nobody cares. They're all drunk. And he had said, can you give me directions back to the place that we had run into each other? And I said, sure, if you buy me a drink. And then I moved to Minnesota about a week later to be with him. And then I worked at Applebee's. And he was, you know, he was still working hardcore with a band there. And then that ended up, you know, not happening anymore. So we started a band. Actually, a sound guy. I hate to talk so much, but it's hard to describe how a band gets together. But a sound guy really liked my voice because I sang with the band. I was like their wild card. They'd bring me up and be like, chick singing two songs. And the sound guy really liked us and really liked my voice and said, do you have a band? And are you maybe would you want to do a gig? And I lied and said, yeah, I have a band. And I totally didn't. So Michael and I woodshedded and came up with 3 hours worth of material. And that was the birth of Davina and the Vagabonds. And, you know, we've been together for about 7 or 8 years. And, you know, I met these guys just through process of elimination. And that's me being, was that wrong to
what,
say?
What does that mean, process of elimination? You went and picked up some people who played things and
well, you know, we went through
they're terrible, so
we went through different players. You know, different players left for their own reasons. I mean, you know, it's the business. Yeah, it's the business, and they came and went, and you know, and that's great, and it taught me a lot as the business side of it, and musically, you know, I got to play with all these different types of people, and how they all play kind of different, but. You know, this band is that I have now, I just couldn't be happier. You know, they work really hard. They put up with my crap. You know, they're really wonderful musicians. They're honest and level-headed, but they're still passionate. And that's really hard to find in musicians, people who are, you know, passionate and level-headed at the same time, you know.
So. Yeah, when you're talking about artists, level-headed doesn't always just fit in there at all. Well, so you said initially you didn't have a band. You had Michael.
Yeah,
so you woodshedded. So it was the initial band you and Michael?
No, we ended up through Michael just being in the Twin Cities for 14 plus years, and you know through me being there for about a year or two, you know I met a saxophone player, a trumpet player, a drummer, and then you know I played piano, and so we just hired these people to do this gig at this dive bar on the West Banks of Minneapolis. You know, and we had a house gig, I think, every Tuesday, you know, and that's kind of what happened. We just hired people. Like, we, you know, I needed a band. So, you know, I hired them. And then little did we know, we'd be gigging, you know, 300 plus dates a year and traveling the world, you know, 4 years later, you know. So
it's been about how long since you've been around?
About seven or 8 years. Yeah. And then, you know, we worked in the Twin Cities primarily. Literally 5 or 6 nights a week for a number of years. And then finally, we started getting exposure and kind of getting out and, you know, more people heard of us and, you know, we took risks and a lot of risks and, you know, a lot of money out of our pocket. And now, you know, it's really starting to become something. I mean, it always was something wonderful, but it's becoming magical now. So,
And how do you deal with Minnesota, having come from
Key West?
Key West.
Well, I'm originally from Pennsylvania.
Oh, you are? Where?
Yeah, Altoona.
That's where I'm from.
Are you from
Pennsylvania? Are you from Pennsylvania? Yeah.
Where are you? You want to
Chambersburg? No, that's
Chambersburg.
Fine.
Yeah.
Do you know where that is? How
yeah.
about that? Okay.
That's
everybody
a really
out
nice
there
town.
From Pennsylvania, we can have share this little inside conversation.
So yeah, I grew up in Altoona. I left when I was really young. It just definitely wasn't the place for me to be who I was at that time. So
I could see
yeah,
how
yeah.
that could be true.
Yeah, it's very true. It was very rough. But yeah, so that's a whole nother book.
It's Davina Sowers and the Vagabonds who are in Champaign for a couple of shows tonight and tomorrow. Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign, and we've got them live for the hour here on Live and Local. So we might as well take advantage of that and hear some more music. What do you want to do?
We're going to do an original. That last one was an original. It's called Black Cloud, and this is called Pocket. Got some time to you. Now that you're not here, I'm gonna write you a love song and let you know how I feel. Well, it's been so many years now, we've both had our ups and our downs, and now there's nothing gonna tear us apart. No, no, because you got it. You got my heart in your pocket. I bring it out when you want love. When you want love, I got it. You got my heart in your pocket. I bring it out, I bring it out, I bring it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey. Come on. Hey. Well, I remember the time. It wasn't a mistake. I've been traveling town to town when love is what I found. In my heart is what a little take. Or you've got it, you got my heart in your pocket. I bring it out when you want it. When you want love, or you have got it. You got my heart in your pocket. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bring it out, I bring it. Bring it, come on down, Dan. I bring it.
Resonant cymbal. No, that's fine. I was sort of, you know, I'm sitting in the room with headphones and I'm just kind of looking around, what is that sound? And it's that's a, yeah. a big one.
We just don't want the song to end.
Well, that's great. It's a song called Pocket, as yeah. in heart in your pocket. Davina and the Vagabonds here on Live and Local, live in our studio, which is a real, real treat. You know, I was asking earlier about. Not about influences, but about sort of personas for you, Davina, particularly. And I guess sort of in follow-up to that, the notion of the persona that you seem to have created for yourself, Because, you know, when you talk, you sound like you could be somebody from Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
which you are.
I am.
And then Florida. And then Minnesota.
Yeah.
And people from none of those places would have the sort of the vocal sound, particular, but the particular the speech sound that you have created as your singing person. Mm-hmm. And I wondered how you came up with that, or anybody in particular in mind?
People that I enjoy listening to? Oh, there's just tons.
Well, I mean, when in creating this Divina,
you know,
of the Vagabonds.
I mean, I have tons of people that I look up to as a musician. And there's, you know, I think through the years growing up and listening to all the different types of music that I've listened to, you know, it's definitely instilled me with different types of phrasing. I really like to break the boundaries of phrasing. I feel it's my instrument. So I feel it's really important to stylistically change phrasing and the way I'm saying things, because I'm trying to portray that story, that particular story. I don't know if it's a persona. It's so hard for me to answer these questions, because I don't know if it's necessarily a persona, because it's just definitely who I am, and it's who, and I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm supposed to be this way. Like, I don't want to sound like that at all, but I'm genuinely doing in my head what my brain is telling me to do and how to sing it. That's what comes out of my mouth. I never really think particularly, you know what, I'm gonna nail this like Amy Winehouse nailed it. Because I honestly have listened to maybe 4 songs of Amy Winehouse in the past 2 years, and I've been singing since I was a child. Maybe we all, you know, I don't know. It's my instrument. I just felt really important to do different things with my instrument, to do different things with my voice, to be able to portray those phrases and that specific story in a way that my heart and my brain are telling me to do at the same time, you know. I love all different. Robert Plant, I mean, I love the way he sings. Do I sound like Robert Plant? Sometimes, maybe. No, I don't, do I?
No, not quite. A little bit.
But, you know, there's, you know, I mean, I love Fats Waller, Robert Plant. I love Jeff Tweedy off of Wilco, you know. I love Billie Holiday, and I love, you know, Ella Fitzgerald, and I love all of them. Do I listen to them, and have I mimicked them? Absolutely not. Yeah, I mean,
There was, again, sort of looking at influences that are apparently have influenced the band now,
yeah.
Going more than just Divina. There was mention of gospel creeping into this notion of a, you know, kind of a technical blues band.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not call you guys particularly a blues band.
We're not.
But, you know, it says right here, broke on the national blues scene. I don't know. It depends on the song.
Yeah.
But that one, you know, it sounded like, I mean, I hear a lot of gospel singer in you, but also I did see that, you know, the band is maybe a little more New Orleans, say, than Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And 100%. Part of that is the horns.
Uh-huh.
So which comes back to earlier question, how did you form the band? Where'd you get the idea for the horns? Because the average, unless you're talking about Blues Brothers, I suppose, who they have horns in that band, don't they?
They have a large amount of horns. Yeah.
I never saw that movie, so I don't know.
I mean, Michael, maybe you can help me out here because you helped me with this. We didn't want a guitar player, not because we hate guitar, but
everybody's got a guitar player.
Everybody does, and there's plenty of them. I think because I played the piano and Michael played the bass as well, I think we covered that pocket of what was needed for that specific instrument.
So Michael, help her out here.
Yeah.
She asked. Be nice.
Because he was, you know, Michael's a huge part of this, you know, band. He's being a founding father of this band as well, you know. So
when we started playing, we were a 3-piece, and
the third was
just drums.
Just drums.
Drums, bass, and
piano, bass, drums. That's jazz trio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we
were playing. We were listening to more like Ben Folds 5, kind of stuff, and. Divina was a fan of Bob Dylan, The Dead, a lot of the 60s
music, the band.
So when that sound guy approached us with a gig, we were like, oh yeah, sure, we have a band. And we learned like 50 songs, but they were all like 2 minutes long. So I was doing a house gig with a horn section at that time every Thursday. So we had hired the sax and trumpet to come along, and then they eventually stayed with us and did other gigs with us, and And that's the first, our first record is saxophone and trumpet, bass, drums, and Divina.
I think it definitely like started, the more that Michael and I played, the more that I wrote, you know, we're huge fans of Preservation Hall Band and, you know, even some of like the, Professor Longhair and, I think just the more I wrote, the influence of growing up with an older parent. My father was born in 1902, and he was my adopted father. And then my mom was a folk singer, and I think some of that kind of came in with the writing. The writing part I always kind of lend to some of that, Reader's Digest 1940s songbook kind of thing, you know. And for some reason, I developed that with my piano, because that's what I grew up listening to and playing, you know. But the more influences that we've had with the musicians that we've had, that's really made our songbook, with the covers in particular, you know. And then with the writing, that just happens. I just write the song, and it sounds the way it is. That's why our genres are all over the place, because I'm all over the place when it comes to what I've been reared to, you know, listening to, so...
Well, we'll follow up on little threads of this shortly, but let's hear another song, as long as we're talking about songs.
Right, let's do it. We're going to do another original, and I have no idea what it's going to be. Oh, let's do St. Michael versus the Devil. Under the gates of heaven, trying to find a clock to prove the day is gonna end in. I've been drinking my poison, staring at my feet, waving my sword in the air in defeat. I've got holes in my wings, a blue note in my voice. I've got blood on my hands, you see, I didn't have a choice. I left his poor soul under the bridge of Hennepin and Pine. That dirty old dog thought he was leaving me behind. He's a dirty little devil. He's a dirty little devil. He's a sneaky little devil. He's a dirty little devil. Well, he promised me gold, and he promised me love. He promised me a good time if I left up above. He said I ain't got no paycheck. In fact, I ain't got no life, because I fly around all day and I fly around all night. He's a sneaky little devil. He's a dirty little devil. He's a sneaky, sneaky, dirty little devil. Yes, he is. I got trouble indeed. I ain't got the kind of trouble you can touch, taste, or see. And I thought for a second, boy, this devil could be right. But I've been taking orders from a man assumed to dress in white. And I ain't the one burning. My
under the gates of heaven, trying to find a clock to prove the day is gonna end in heaven. I drinking my poison, I staring at my feet. He's a sneaky little devil. Oh, he's a dirty, 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 dirty little devil. He's a sneaky, sneaky,
Davina and the Vagabonds, live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I don't know where to go with that.
Okay.
Because well, I was thinking about so many things. I was listening. I mean, the song kind of tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
But meaning the words of the song tell the story. But almost more than any song I can think of, the music of the whole construction is its own story.
Oh, for sure. That's what I was trying to explain. You know, I think what we do is, in a way, we're not really trying to emulate anybody else but ourselves. And I think it's important that we're telling a story with each and every single one of our instruments, you know. And it's true, you know. It really is. Like, we do the best we can to serve the song, you know.
I got a question for Dan Eichmeier, who's the trumpeter in the group. And for that matter, probably Ben Lincoln, trombones as well. One trombone. You're a classically trained trumpet player.
Correct.
Did you ever dream you'd be doing what you just did?
That's a great question.
Or did you ever have a nightmare?
You know,
is this what your training led to?
You know, honestly, yeah. This is something that I've been dreaming about since I was like 13 and heard rock music for the first time. Like, I want to do that. And I wasn't a very good guitar player. So this is my chance to tour and play music like a rock band, except with the music that brass instruments, in my opinion, were made to play. It's really like we play like the basic building blocks of modern popular music. This is a dream come true for me. It's what I like to do.
How about the business of imitating this, you know, wacky vocalist over here? You know, did you think that would be happening?
You know?
Is this what your technique was?
That's what we learn in school. No, yeah. No. No, that's more on-the-job training.
That sounded like on-the-spot training,
on
really.
On the spot, yeah. Usually, yeah. No, I went to college for a long time, and it was, I felt after I left college that my musical education really started, that I got a job waiting tables in a jazz club, and I heard world-class music being played every night, and that's when I started learning about jazz. It was really kind of backwards, but yeah, so I take, you know, the stuff that I kind of absorbed through that job, and then I'm just trying to keep up with Davina all night.
There's another theme that seems to have crept up here that I'm noticing. Davina, you said you were a bad guitar player and you made your life there. And Dan, you just said you weren't very good at guitar. And Michael, you used to be a guitarist.
Yeah, I had to quit though. I wasn't very good.
Alec plays guitar too.
Alec plays
did you really?
Good. Yeah.
And well, you're
he's
a bass
the best
player,
one
too.
Out of all of us.
I know, right?
And Ben?
I do not play guitar.
You do not play guitar.
Never tried.
If you did, though,
you'd be bad.
Yeah.
So was this one of the unspoken criteria for getting in this band?
Maybe it is. Yeah, I never really thought of it like that, but yeah, I mean, maybe it is, or maybe there's just a lot of guitar players.
Well, there's that, but also sometimes you realize. I know as a music programmer, sometimes I find that I discover connections that I never thought of in the first place that sort of reinforce that it was a really good idea in the first place.
Yeah.
So you pick these guys for other reason than the fact that they're all ex-bad guitar players just maybe reinforces.
Oh, we're all still bad guitar players.
Oh,
yeah, we're all still bad.
What about the composition process? You know, you said Davina, you know, these, I wrote the songs, but these have to be group compositions, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I'll write and arrange them together, like the chord structure and the vocals, and arrange them, and then I bring it to them. And sometimes it'll be like mix matched, arranged, you know, the past few songs. With this band, this is really kind of the first. Yeah, so it's definitely a group. Sometimes I write the horn lines, or I'll give them a hook that I've written while I'm writing it, and I'll say, this is the hook, you know, this is the instrumental hook, and can you guys, you know, play that hook throughout the song? And, you know, they're definitely, you know, their solos are them 100%. I mean, level A. They're just amazing players, you know, and then they take that. And then I'm your typical, like, singer-songwriter band leader where I'm like, there's this feel.
Really?
And I just don't know how to, you know, and it's hard for me with the drums and the bass. Quit laughing at me. But it's true, you know, like, I give them the tempo, and it's pretty, when I bring it to you guys, it's pretty formed, and the idea is really there, you know. But, you know, we arrange it together. Doing the live thing really helps because, you know, we try to mess around with it because we do so many shows. Like, you would go crazy doing the same arrangements, you know. So we mess around with them when we're on stage and do something different every night.
Well, you like know, that business that was going on between Michael and Alec, you know, bass and drums earlier. Your idea, their idea.
Which,
you know,
one?
Right. Well, essentially opened the song virtually, you know, shortly after that you got the song going. And,
oh, the very, very, very intro or the bass solo?
Fairly, well, the bass solo, the bass, but solo. Also the, you know, oh, you got, yeah, some visuals going, oh, back, yeah, and forth. This is going to happen, oh, you know.
Yeah, we always.
That's kinda, your.
We always try new things live. Just, and then if we remember it the next show, we usually,
yeah,
keep it.
Yeah.
I always look back when they come up with something because, you know, I won't know because they communicated it. And then I'll be like, oh, I got to remember for the next show. And then they'll do it the next show and I'll be like, oh! I'll look back, I'll go, oh, I forgot it!
You know? So does that suggest that you're best as a live band? You know, if you really want to experience Davina,
well,
and the Vagabonds, I mean, you can buy this CD that, yeah, I'm holding, which, by the way, is called Black Cloud. But if you really want to hear him, go see a live show. That's
think,
the real,
yeah,
experience.
I mean, I think that that's, because that's what we do. I mean, we're not a studio. I mean, we go in to do a product because it's a business, and it's nice to, you know, have someone go home with your sound, you know, so they can listen to you and not have to come every day, but even though they should, but anyway, I'm just joking.
This is where you have the, you know, they can come every day, or a lot of times it, you have a regular gig in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Semi. We're never home, you know, so, but there's a place called the Dakota Jazz Club that we frequent, dakotacooks.com. And you can, you know, we're there. We do full weekends there, you know, just like we're doing, you know, tonight at Mike and Molly's and the next night. And that's, you know, kind of our home away, we're our home at home, away from home. I don't know how you would describe that. Home away from home at home.
When you're home.
When we're home.
You're home when you're home.
When we're home, we're home. And that's where we're at, you know. There's a few places that we play regularly, just to keep it sustained in that area. But, you know, man, we travel like a ton. I don't think we've been home for more than 4 days in the past.
Month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems forever, yeah.
Well, we're glad you made it through here. It's Davina,
yeah,
and the Vagabonds.
Yay.
Are going to be in Champaign at Mike and Molly's tonight and tomorrow night for an 8 o'clock show. Tonight's show opens at 7 o'clock with the James Jones Trio, blues trio. Tomorrow night, Jammin' Jimmy Bean, who I think has a regular weekly thing there anyway on Wednesdays. He'll be at 7 o'clock also. And you're listening to him live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Tonight at 7 o'clock on our FM 90.9 evening concert, it's the New York Philharmonic this week. Pianist Andras Schiff conducts the group from the keyboard and two of Bach's keyboard concertos. Also on the program, one of the early string symphonies of Mendelssohn and Robert Schumann's Fourth Symphony. It's the New York Philharmonic this week, tonight at 7 on the evening concert here on FM 90.9. Let's have another tune.
Done. Let's do it. Do you want to do Lipstick and Chrome? You guys? Was that a yeah?
Yeah.
Horns are up. They're ready to go.
I got a swing in my step. Nothing could go wrong. I got a pocket full of money and a head full of dancing songs. Now come on, let's all go down to Mike and Molly's tonight. Yeah. That's where they say the goods, it's getting all used up. Let's dance till our feet get tired and the soda pop pops out of our cup. Just you and me, the way it should be. I'm right here, the girl of your dreams. That's right. Now, nothing. Don't you worry, baby. You see, I made all my friends stay home. It's just you and me, the way it should be. I dance floor, lipstick and chrome. I said I got a swing in my step. Yes, I do now. Ooh, nothing could go wrong. I got a mouth full of honey and a head full of sassy songs. That's right. Should be. Don't stop hugging me or loving me. Now you better throw out that watch, 'cause time is gonna move real fast. You see the moon, it's gonna jump over the mountain, and then the sun, it'll be coming at last. And that means it's come to the time of the evening where I hope to get a good night kiss. I wanna steal away, remember today, dream of you, boy, and reminisce. Yes. Now, nothing.
Nothing.
No. Nothing could go wrong. It's just you and me, boy. Can't you see? I dance floor, lipstick, and chrome.
Lipstick and Chrome. That's a great name, by the way.
Thanks.
All the tunes we've heard so far are on that Black Cloud CD, sir. I believe.
Except St. Michael versus the Devil.
Oh, that one is not on there. That was a great tune. Yeah. They're all great tunes. I'm really enjoying this. It's Davina Sowers, vocals and piano. Michael Carvalho on bass and also backing vocals on that one. Alec Tackman on the drums. Dan Eichmeier, trumpet, also heard in the vocals. And Ben Link on trombone, also heard in the vocals. Did I miss it, Alec? And you were heard on the vocals on that one, too?
Just a little bit.
We seem to have actually sort of a celebrity in the midst in the form of the bass player of the group. I'm just looking through your bio here, and you have a couple of lifetime achievement awards in Minnesota already.
It was with a band I was with.
Yeah, but still.
Before this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 6-7 years ago in the Minnesota Rock and Roll Country Hall of Fame on your own. Or is that still with the band?
Again, with the band. Yeah, they were really famous before I joined the band, so I kind of slid right in and got a bunch of awards.
This is the Lamont Cranston band.
Yeah, I really didn't earn those awards.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean much. I mean, no, but that doesn't mean much. Because there's a lot of, you know, I'm classically trained myself, so I haven't gotten out as much as you guys. So, yeah, I know at least three, if not four of you have nothing anymore. I wave my hands in front of orchestras and choirs.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that would, yeah. But I'm curious though, what sort of different styles you bring to this venture?
I do,
Michael.
I brought more like the jump blues and the blues and the swing. And I like...
I mean, there's a lot of the swing bass.
Yeah, yeah. And like the some of like the New Orleans music.
And where did you pick it up?
A lot of it was from being around past members from this band. And then a lot of it was just playing with other people around town before I met Davina.
So when you started the band, so obviously it was before you met the past members, what sort of music were you playing?
Blues, swing, jump blues stuff. And then it wasn't until later that I had a love for New Orleans music.
Are the Twin Cities in Minnesota a good place for the blues and swing and so on?
Yeah, it's a great place for a lot of different styles of music. I moved there a while ago, 20 years ago, and I always had an option of moving away, and I always thought, well, I'll just stick around till my luck runs out. And I've always met great people and had great gigs and was surrounded by talented players. So I love it.
And you've, I guess, four of the five of you are conservatory trained. Where'd you get your musical training?
Playing. I've been playing since I was six. You know, a lot of classical music in Pennsylvania, just taking lessons and, you know, it helped me with agility, but I think improvising.
Well, we heard that in that last number.
Well, a little.
A lot of going on there. Yeah, you gave a look that said, I think I just missed half those notes, but I wouldn't.
Don't!
They're there.
I was just saying the look. I'm not saying it sounded like you missed half those notes. And Alec, you went to a place I remember walking by when I was in high school looking for a place to go to college, Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Yep.
I hear that is sort of a crazy place for out there sort of people.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah, it was a pretty wild experience. It's, I don't know, I heard people described it best there as it's everything you want and everything you don't want at the same time.
And for you, that meant what?
What I want and don't want? Or, I mean,
what did that experience mean to you? Yeah.
I thought
that statement and your experience.
You know, just because there's every type of musician there. I mean, there's 400 drummers there. So I got to see...
That sounds loud.
Yeah. You know, there's 2,000 guitarists, too. So, I mean, it's, you know, just to see every type of player and you get to jam with hundreds of people and personalities, you know, it was pretty crazy. But I got to study with some incredible, incredible people.
You still keep in touch with too.
Yeah. You know, if we're still out east, you know, I'm always in contact with old teachers, and I took a lesson the other week when we were in New York. But that was a great experience. You know, a lot of great lessons, experience, friends. Locked myself in the practice room. You know, I definitely. I'm glad I went. It was very expensive, but it was, you know, it was worth it. I feel, you know, it was.
And what kind of styles did, I mean, that place teaches so many different kinds of things, almost sort of accepting classical, right? Just about anything else.
You know, they do a little bit, like with the film scoring. I don't know if people necessarily go there for classical. I think
right.
They go down the street and go somewhere else. But it's definitely a jazz school, a bebop school. You're graded on how well you play jazz, you play out of the real book. You know, there's a lot of like metalheads and gospel players and stuff there too. But you're graded on how well you play jazz. So that's kind of what I became when I was there. Is definitely, you know, trio jazz.
I guess that's more than I knew. I didn't realize that somehow. No. Okay. I thought of it as a place for, you know, sort of rock and roll types.
Oh no, it's
wrong, huh?
No, it's absolutely a jazz bebop school.
It's almost like a conservatory for jazz.
It's, you know, you're practicing in ensembles but you got to take every other class too. You know, I took all the harmony and ear training and counterpoint and arranging and conducting. You know,
conducting is important in jazz.
You know, I couldn't stand the class when I was in it, but it helped me a lot.
It's like an
oxymoron. I made some good money conducting after Berklee.
Did you?
Yeah. So I can't complain about those classes.
tell me how to do that. I'm still trying to figure that out.
So yeah, it was great. Yeah, I can't complain.
Davina and the Bagavons. Vagabonds. That's difficult.
Trust me.
Let's have some more music before
you
I
know,
get.
You know, we were talking to Michael. I think we're gonna have him do a New Orleans song. Okay. Sing a New Orleans song. Do you want to?
Do you want to do?
Let's do Bourbon, just because.
Yeah, let's do Bourbon Street. Racy. All right. Bourbon Street Parade.
Down in New Orleans.
Bourbon Street Parade, is that what you said was
yes,
called?
Correct.
Yeah, Davina and the Vagabonds here on Live and Local. Dan has his hand raised. Do you want to say something?
No, I was just, no, I'm good.
No, okay. featuring in that one the vocals of Michael Carvalho, who's also the bass player, who you heard right at the end with a little swing lick. And, you know, the one person I haven't picked on so far, Mr. Ben Link on the trombone. Styles and experience do you bring to this band, and how did they stumble on you? Or did you stumble on them?
Well, my teacher in college used to be in this band, my private instructor. And then he had to leave the band because of his responsibilities at that college. Then there was one interim trombone player who didn't work out.
That's what we call him. No, I'm joking.
No, I don't know.
I'm joking.
I don't really know him. But
no, I know. I'm just joking.
And then I joined the band right after I graduated, and I couldn't be happier to get the experience, and yeah.
So I recognize, you know, from your bio, the name of one of the people you studied with at Indiana, David Baker, who's, I mean, he's a trombonist, right?
Right, yeah.
He's runs
a cellist
the jazz,
now, but yeah.
But he runs the jazz program there still, I think, in his 80s or something like that.
I believe he's still there, yeah.
He is still. Well, he was 2 years ago anyway, because I got to interview
him. Surprising every year that he's still doing that. He teaches so many classes. And...
But then a trombone performance degree also, as in classical performance or something else?
Well, after about a year at Indiana, I decided it was a little too expensive for me and came back home. And studied at a college called McNally Smith in downtown St. Paul, which is actually where Michael went. And it was kind of like a mini Berkeley, just kind of, I mean, not quite, but they were kind of going for that, like trying to train people to do commercial music and like just to be able to live off of playing music somehow in the Twin Cities. And
including an emphasis in jazz?
Yeah, and well, especially for the horn players, the main guy there for jazz was Pete Whitman, who is a tenor player who also leads like a small big band in town, and also he plays with the local big band Jazzmen. We focused on kind of whatever we wanted, and there was a clique of people who liked jazz, and there was a big band there, and I was in a lot of different types of ensembles, like ska ensemble and like different rock ensembles, but. Yeah,
and you ran into this. I was kind of curious about this. I don't know how much of a big deal this was in your experience, but with a an extet, whatever an extet.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah, it, just like a not a nonet or an octet, but an extet because the personnel changed. All
some
the time.
Number
yeah.
of people, but you had some
or it could
time
be
with a.
Ten.
That's Whitman's, right?
Yeah, Whitman's is 10, but ours was kind of wonky, so no. we let X be a variable instead of a Roman numeral.
A mathematical formula. Yeah. Did this Peruvian fusion guitarist, I mean, you mentioned here, was that actually significant for you?
Well, he brought us to Peru, which was significant. And also, I mean, he was great, but we only got to work with him a little bit because he was so busy. But yeah, that was really cool. The Peruvian fusion is like a big deal in Peru, and like bringing traditional Peruvian jazz into, or traditional Peruvian music, like folk music, into jazz, that's like a huge thing down there. And just like the beats, and we took like a master class on cajon and just like learned different like Peruvian beats that, and like feeling 12 in different places. And so, I mean, that was pretty cool, yeah.
And does that show up in this band, do you think?
Well, there's definitely, I mean, a clave and a 12 feel in a lot of the New Orleans music, and I mean... Yeah, I would say it does, but not in any like pointed way.
You can't claim that you brought it back from Peru and injected it into this band. Another.
I wouldn't put like a name on it.
Well, everybody clearly brings something and a lot to this band. It's just been a blast. We'll do another tune to take things out here in just a second. It's Davina and the Vagabonds. They're going to be at Mike and Molly's in Champaign tonight. At 8 o'clock, opening trio for some blues is James Jones Trio. And then tomorrow night, also at 8 o'clock, opening at 7 o'clock, Jam and Jimmy Bean. Mike and Molly's is in downtown Champaign. I assume it'll be outside. That's the place it's got to be, right, in the beer garden. And I haven't looked at the forecast. Hopefully it's a pretty good one. And Davina and the Vagabonds are Davina Sowers, vocals, piano, and ukulele, which we haven't heard here.
Yeah,
today.
We'll hear it tonight.
You'll
and
hear
tomorrow,
it tonight.
But...
Michael Carvalho on the bass. Alec Tackman is the drummer. Dan Eichmeyer on trumpet. Ben Link on trombone. Let me mention a few other things you can go see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days. The Parkland Early Jazz Ensemble. This is the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7 o'clock. Who's Your Daddy? Acoustic country type group at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. Jason Weatherholt and Susan Williams, representing the Champaign-Urbana Singer-Songwriter Collective, will be at Clark Bar in Champaign this evening at 7 o'clock. Keith Harden is at Blair Park in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5:30. At the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, It's a Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum tomorrow at 2 and 8, and for the next couple weeks as well. Check their website for the complete schedule. A big band called the Aristocrats will be at Withers Park in Bloomington tomorrow morning at 11:30. Greg Barnhill and the Hitmakers from Nashville at the Boondocks in Springfield tomorrow evening at 7:30. It's the Alex Falls self-titled band playing jazz at Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And I think we'll leave it at that. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. These are Davina and the Vagabonds.
Why'd you make me for the devil to love? Every day's a struggle, push and shove. For some reason, bad fits like a glove. I really try to be good. Every day I wake up feeling the same. Tired of playing the good girl game. My heart is meant to be full of shame. Or I really try to be good. On my sleeve, I want it badly, I will beg and plead, but for some reason my mind won't let me succeed. I try to be good. Just no good. Why'd you make me for the devil to love? Every day he's a struggle, push and shove. For some reason, bad fits like a glove. I try to be good.